It's Ireland's most talked about podcast. The only podcast with live callers and live debates. It's Opinions Matter with Adrian and Katie.
You're very welcome to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Katie, recorded at our studio at the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock in North County Dublin. Now, before I let you know what we want to talk about on this very special episode of Opinions Matter, I want to give a big shout out to our current show sponsors. And that is The Snail Box, a one-of-a-kind pub and restaurant between Ashburn and Slane, just off the N2 in County Meath. Now, as you will have heard me wax lyrical for years on end, The Snail Box is my favourite place in Ireland to go for a bite to eat. It has a warm, family-friendly atmosphere, mouth-watering food, fantastic chefs, fantastic staff, just a great place. And when the weather is nice, the outdoor seating with breathtaking panoramic views of counties Meath, Dublin and Louth. The Snail Box is more than just a dining spot, it's an actual experience. And over the summer months, if you happen to be going to Emerald Park, for example, it is literally a few minutes away. Go to Emerald Park, have a great day out, and then come to the Snail Box for a bite to eat. It's only 10 minutes away. You can enjoy a delicious meal in a welcoming environment, complete, as I said, with those stunning views of counties Meath, Dublin and Louth. And maybe you'd also give them a hand in breaking a world record for baseball caps on public display. As soon as you walk into the door, in the door of the Snail Box, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's thousands of them on display. If you have a spare baseball cap at home, bring it in. They'll exchange it for one of their own, and it helps them break a world record for the most amount of baseball caps on public display. My thanks to Philip and all of the staff in the Snail Box for being consistent and loyal sponsors of the Opinions Matter podcast. So, what do we want to talk about on this very special and very different episode of Opinions Matter? In just a moment, Katie and I are going to be talking to a lady called Megan. And I'm going to read out a WhatsApp message that Megan received a couple of weeks ago. And this will explain what we're going to be talking about. Dear Megan, I'm writing to you from Pegasus in Switzerland. Maureen asked me to write to you personally and directly to inform you. Maureen passed away peacefully today at 13:03 Swiss local time. She was not alone. She was embraced by the Pegasus nurse, attendant and dog all together as she died. She was holding the card of her beloved sister Wendy in her hand. She requested Elvis gospel music to be played, and Amazing Grace was the song that played when she opened her IV cannula. I send my sincere condolences to you and your family, Megan. May she be lovingly remembered and her memory be a blessing. That was a WhatsApp received by a lady called Megan to inform her that her mother had passed away. And Megan joins us on the line to give us the background to this shocking, shocking story. Megan, welcome to Opinions Matter.
Thank you, Adrian.
Megan, when you got that message, what did you think?
Well, obviously, when we spoke, I told you like the night before, a close friend of my mum's had messaged me and said, "Can you talk?" And again, like I'm feeding my newborn, so I couldn't because it was late enough at night. So when my friend texted me and said, "Can you talk?" and I said, "No, I'm feeding the baby," text me. He said to me, "Your mum's in Switzerland," and I was like, "What are you talking about?" You know what I mean? I didn't know what to make of it. And I got forward into it with him. I had sent him a screenshot of her making plans and he was talking to me as if she was at home. I actually didn't know she was anywhere. I thought she was at home. I knew she had planned a trip with our friend. Well, I didn't even know it was on the Tuesday when she'd gone. I thought she had a trip planned a couple of weeks, like. And he then told me that our plan was for assisted suicide over there. And I thought, how is she going to get that overnight? Like, she has IBS and she had got physical and she had got mental problems. So again, people can argue that, like, she had the right to go. And I don't even argue she had not got the right to go. My mum hadn't got a lot of control over things in my life. From a very young age, but someone had said to me this was one thing she had got control of. And again, I can't really disagree with that. But like I said,
I want to find out the full story of what happened and how you found out and the process that was in place to notify family and the fact that you weren't actually ever notified. But in just a second, I want you to take me back and tell me a little bit about your mam. It's the Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Katie. We're in the middle of a conversation with a lady called Megan Royal, who is telling us the story of how her mam, Maureen, passed away a couple of weeks ago in a clinic in Basel in Switzerland called Pegasus. She availed of assisted suicide, which is fully legal in Switzerland. So, Megan, take me back a little bit and tell me a little bit more about your mam.
She came from the UK when she was young, but her mother's partner was an abuser. And my mam got out at a young age where she was in the Magdalene laundry for most of her teens. And then she went on to Revenue, where she worked her ass off, became an executive officer. But like that, as much as her life was going on a high, or she lost her two little sisters in the last 2 years to, well, my godmother died of suicide. And my aunt had tried to commit suicide so many times that she actually died of the aftermath of the problem she had due to suicide attempts.
Oh, so she actually died because of the injuries that she inflicted upon herself, basically.
Yeah, so she had been in ICU the year before last year, and because she had had an overdose and it didn't, she had vomited it back up, it didn't work. So she was left like basically a vegetable in the bed for a couple of months. She had to relearn how to walk and talk. She had tubes in her throat. So after that, she was on oxygen and she eventually died. But my aunt was only 44, 45.
And your mam, she was a troubled person in that she did have mental health issues over a long period of time. And we'll talk about your belief that where it comes to...
I think she was an emotion, like she had emotional hurt and she had mental hurt. And she was in... My mum had attempted suicide last year. So she was... And she got sepsis through... I'm not exactly sure what happened in the hospital that day.
Had you ever heard your mum talking about these places like Dignitas or Pegasus or these clinics?
Oh, no. Well, she had
she ever alluded to or mentioned anything to do with these places?
No.
So this was completely, you didn't even at this point say, oh, you know what, it makes sense.
I literally rang my dad in a panic on the Wednesday night. I rang family members to ring her and get her back to me. I rang a really close friend of mine. She was trying to plan flights to get over. She was going mad. We were texting her. And then she had agreed to come home. I woke up Thursday morning thinking she's coming home to me. Like that, I couldn't get on a plane. My baby's 2 weeks old. I have a son with autism. I found out Thursday it was, 1 o'clock here on the Thursday day. I got a text message.
Jesus Christ.
So Wednesday night, my friend, I rang my best friend and I said to her, look, this is what's happening. And she said, look, mate, maybe you should text your mum and say goodbye. And I said, I'm not going to say goodbye. She can't just go over and do that. She's not doing that.
So
I'm
you went
get
to bed
to
Wednesday night. You were obviously took comfort in the fact your mother said, I'm going to come home. It's okay.
Yeah, she said
so you woke up expecting to see her that day. You woke up expecting to go and collect your mother from the airport, but instead you woke up to a text from a clinic saying she was dead.
Yeah.
You mentioned that last year she attempted suicide herself. And obviously, with that expression, attempted suicide, she didn't succeed. Did you ever talk to her about that and where she was at and why she did it?
I had tried to... She was saying she was in pain, again, with her bowels. She had sepsis before 2 years ago, almost. I had tried to get her signed in. I'd actually rang the police 3 weeks prior. And I said to the police, can you advise me on this situation? I said, I'm worried for my mum's welfare. Again, I'm 9 months pregnant with hyperemesis at this stage. And the guard said to me, yeah, you can have a sign in with, you know, if you're genuinely worried and there's a fear for her life. And I said, yeah, she's doing a lot of talk and suicide. She was kept saying to me, I'm not happy. I don't want to be here. And I kept saying, look, when I have the baby, I'm going down to them doctors. And I'm going to get to the health unit. Don't worry. And she kept saying, nobody can help me. And again, it might come across that I'm against assisted suicide. I feel like the fact that she was alone and she felt so alone, I'm sure, in the moment, because I know my mum. She couldn't find her way around the corner, bless her, without like Google Maps. So the fact that she made her way to this place in Switzerland all alone, like if I had even known 3-4 weeks beforehand, no, I probably would. I definitely wouldn't have agreed. I'm never going to agree with saying wanting to say goodbye to me, Ma. I'm an only child. Like, I'm not me. It's me and her against the world. And you want me to say I'm all right? I'm never going to. And I guess some people's opinions would be completely against that. She has the right. And I agree. She might have the right. But I also have the right to say I don't agree with her. But I would have at least, even my partner said, I would have went to her. And like, we're not going to agree with it even over there. But even if she had got to the door and said, no, I still want to do it. Well, then someone would have had her hand. She wouldn't have been sitting in Switzerland alone writing me a postcard. Because I got a postcard the day after the text.
Now, this clinic, if you could even call it a clinic, Pegasus in Switzerland, operates within Swiss law in terms of it is legally able to provide assisted suicide. It's not something you just walk in off the street and say, I want help committing suicide. Your mom would have had to put a fair bit of planning into this. Are you shocked that she would have been planning this for quite some time?
Very much so, but I'm more shocked that I hadn't got the right to be the slightest bit part of it, even. Like, you, I was robbed a goodbye.
Megan, to me, and I can't say I can understand because I've never been in the situation, but it actually sounds like you have an element almost of anger. Do you feel angry towards what your mother did?
I'm angry at this place that gave her no dignity. No dignity. Like, I followed me mama on a tracking number as I got her ashes in the post.
Jesus Christ. That is
like
horrendous.
She was in the back of a post van,
oh,
and then I was told by this volunteer. So after they blocked me number, after sending me that message,
they blocked you. Then message, sorry, they hang on.
They blocked me.
Why would they blocked you? Obviously afraid of any complaints or negative feedback.
Yeah, they had sent me another message just saying you'll receive your mother's ashes in the post. You're the designated address. And then I said, can I ask where my mum's medical reports are, where I can access how this happened or who agreed or what the hell is going on? I got blocked.
Oh,
so my partner messaged them and said, how dare you block a grievance? Like, I had to get the Irish embassy to get our ashes back to me because I wouldn't have got them back in 2 weeks. They were telling me I was going to be waiting 8 weeks. I'm still waiting on our death cert.
It's just the insensitivity of it. It's your mother's ashes will be delivered in.
There wasn't even like a condolence note with the ashes.
It's like getting a delivery from Amazon. This is the remains of the person you love most in the world, and that's how. So they don't even afford the respect to the loved ones after to handle the case with sensitivity.
And a text message, like they had said, they received a letter from me, and they verified the letter by email.
Okay, so let me find out about that. So they claim that you had sent a letter basically approving your mum's decision and explaining that you wouldn't be able to be there with her. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you never wrote any such letter because you didn't know anything about this.
I never wrote any letter.
So again, your mum obviously forged this letter, alluding to the fact that it was from you. And then they wrote an email to a made-up email address as well. Is that right?
Yeah, because I didn't get the next steps of my mom's death then. Like, I didn't know. That's why I texted the WhatsApp frantically being like, what's going on? Where's me mom?
The clinic claims that they emailed you the details to an email address that was provided by your mother.
Yeah.
Okay. And did that email address reply?
I'm guessing not, because my mum was gone and it was her who made it.
So that brings me back to my point that from your mum's point of view, there was an awful lot of planning went into this, setting up, you know, writing letters purporting to be from you, setting up an email account purporting to be yours, all the while to try and fool this company, Pegasus, that you were aware and were...
But Pegasus had my phone number the whole time. They knew who I was. They knew who to tell me afterwards. So why didn't they ring me to verify me letter?
They
messaged me to verify our debt.
Rather than just an email to an email address that your ma'am obviously created.
If there's meant to be two prosecutors that prosecute each debt that goes through this place. If the prosecutors had have gone through my mum's case, which my uncle says in the article, it was handled woefully because they would have seen that was not a correct email. It would have been made by my mum's phone number.
And this is an uncle of yours who's a lawyer in the UK, and he's looked into this, he's investigated, and he believes that there's something...
We're all waiting on word back from Pegasus. Pegasus won't answer the newspapers, Pegasus won't answer our family or friends. But my uncle he's onto the Swiss side of things. And he will get answers.
Megan, what would you like to see change? You know, if the clinic said, okay, we're open to have a discussion here with you about what happened, we want to look
they
at...
They promised a girl in 23 that this would never happen because that's what they did to her. A girl in the UK. They did this very same thing to her.
In that she passed away without any of her family knowing about this, about her plans.
I assume that people going in and using the service have to pay for it.
Yes, 10,000 Swiss francs.
What's that in euro?
It's about 11,000 euro.
Wow.
They also won't speak to you or give you an address until you pay a deposit. Like this, it's well hidden away and stuff. And
this is really...
I just feel like, again, they should have a policy of speaking to a family member. If you look at the photo of my mum in the paper, she was bright, beautiful, happy and young.
Would you believe, on the computer in front of me, and I was just going to say it to you, I have a photograph opened here of yourself, your baby girl and your mum. And I was just going to say, your mother looks absolutely beautiful.
No way
you're
looking at that woman walking in, happy as Larry, and thinking nobody's here for her.
I always thought that it was common practice in a place like Dignitas or Pegasus that they would have to bring a person with them.
No, the law in Switzerland,
it
perhaps should be, but the law in Switzerland allows for assisted suicide for somebody who is of sound mind. And this is part of your problem, Megan.
Argument.
You don't believe that your mum was of sound mind.
I believe if I had known at least even a week before, I could have made sure that didn't happen. And not that again, right? Fair enough, if she said to me at the end of that week, I'm going, Meg, it's what I want, I need, I'm going, well, then I would have let me plan, I got on the plane, but I would have begged him to beg her the whole way to the door. And then if at the door of Pegasus, she said, James, I still want to go, I would have got on video call and let him hold her hand, and she wouldn't have been alone, and I would have made her feel better than I imagine she would have felt.
Do you think that deep down this is what she really wanted? Or do you think it was...
No, because when I look, there's a video of her holding my little girl and she's crying, and you can just tell she doesn't want to leave. I wish...
She feels tortured.
I think with the right help, I could have helped her.
And your mom got to obviously spend some time with your daughter before she passed. How old is
your... 2 weeks were.
She spent how long?
The 2 weeks were. Like she had a car full of, she dressed her up until she's probably 4 years old, which I just thought she was getting overexcited. Do you know what I mean? Like she had the background full to the brim, like I'd never seen it so much. Do you know what?
Chances are, Megan, that she probably held out to meet your daughter. That's probably the reality. She probably waited.
I found a letter written to me in October last year telling me she was waiting for Willow to come.
Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry to hear that, Megan. That's awful.
So, Megan, let me go back to the day before this happened. Your mum supposedly was off to Lithuania for a break. Is that right?
To be honest, I thought she was at home. She told other people she was going to Lithuania. I thought she had, my ma went away every once a month on little day breaks and city breaks. Like, she enjoyed herself, So I thought Lithuania was a plan she had made for in like a couple of weeks. I had no clue she was in Lithuania, I had no clue she was in Switzerland until the Wednesday night when a friend texted me. I thought she was at home, as usual.
Okay, so you had no idea that she had gone to the airport, hopped on a plane, and gone to Switzerland all by herself?
No clue. Sure, the baby, she sent me a picture on Tuesday night when apparently she was in at the hotel next to the airport, and she sent me a picture, got the baby in a rocker, and on Thursday, an hour after the text, the baby rocker got delivered.
Oh my God.
Do you have any idea how long, or have you any way of even finding out how long ago she made initial contact with Pegasus?
No, because I was robbed of the right to say goodbye. I was robbed of the right to be even a part of saying goodbye. I was robbed of everything, our funeral, because obviously there's not much of a funeral I can do. She paid and planned for our funeral for her body. But
so, Megan, she went over to Switzerland. Sorry, did you say the same day she flew, did she go to this clinic?
No, so from what I know, she stayed by the airport on the Tuesday and she was in Switzerland on the Wednesday, and she was passed of, she was cleared as fit-minded on the Wednesday, and I just like to know who cleared off fit-mind, but because over here in Ireland, she wasn't declared fit-mind, but...
What I'm trying to get at is, did she stay in the clinic the night before? You know, she did stay in the clinic the night before.
She actually, another thing I heard from what she had said to our friend was that she was talking to a girl who was also there for the same thing, and they were just chilling together, like, while getting a tutu.
God. That is just, I have goosebumps that this can happen. I actually am listening to you and I have goosebumps. I cannot believe that this, in any part of this world, can be allowed to happen. And it's all, as you say, Adrian, this is all actually legal.
In Switzerland, yeah.
But again, as I argue, who declared her of fit mind? Because their website, if you click on it, says, we will assist you as long as you're over 18 and healthy, but you must be of sound mind.
And you believe that she wasn't of sound mind?
Well, she was suicidal. But she was also very happy and had a lot to live for and very smart and very, like, she was an EEO, like an executive officer, like she was a strong, smart.
Do you feel any anger towards the Irish government, because we hear the stories every week?
The mental health system, 100%, yeah. Because I couldn't get her signed in, and a very close friend of mine, there was a big thing about her cousin. He died on 24-hour suicide watch in Ireland not long ago.
That's what I mean. You hear every week stories about, you know, CAMHS and all the adult mental health services, how they're 100%. So completely, you know, bursting at the seams. Do you apportion some of the blame of what happened to the Irish government?
Of course I do. Of course I do. I don't think there's... And like me, for example, I went to my doctor. My baby's 3 weeks old. I said, my ma's just passed there last week. And... if you want some calmers, relaxers, now I can't even take something to relax me because I'm breastfeeding. Well, yeah, come back next week and we'll put you on a 6-month waiting list to see a therapist. So I'm paying for private therapy now.
Do you know what's, sticking out to me about this is because this is your first baby, was it?
My second.
Your second baby.
I have an 8-year-old.
I have, like you, I have two kids, and I know how hard it is to do it, you know, with a new baby, and you're finding your feet again, and you've all the physical, the emotional stuff after having a baby. I genuinely do not know how you are still standing and how you are so strong, because not only are you dealing with a newborn and another baby, but you've got all of this going on in the mix as well. And
you're incredible. It's because I am. Other people might not be so lucky, but I have a very supportive partner, and I have a very supportive group of people that haven't left me aside, and just they've rallied around me, and holding me baby is the one thing that can give me comfort right now. And like that, I have an 8-year-old son who has to look at me every day. So,
does your 8-year-old son know anything?
My son has autism.
Okay.
So I have told him that Nana's gone to heaven, but he hasn't asked me any questions. Now, he did he got very upset the other night, but again, he hasn't asked questions because he assumes people just go to heaven. He does, I don't think he thinks about death.
Let's talk again, Megan, about this Pegasus place. So you got that message from the clinic the day your man passed. And every time I read over it, I'm looking at it and I'm going, holy
when
shit.
When you read that
can
at
you
the
imagine
intro,
getting that, what?
When you read that at the intro, genuinely the hairs on the back of my neck were standing because it's like something from a horror movie.
Yeah, it really is.
So how can this be real?
So your first communication from them was that message. Now, your issues with this whole story are, A, the fact that it was possible for your mom to fool them, basically, to think that you were involved and you approved of this and you just couldn't go to Switzerland. But then the second part of this is the fact that they did have your phone number, did communicate with you via WhatsApp after your mom had passed. And your query is, why the hell did they not do that before she passed?
Yeah.
To let you
and
know.
Why is there a policy not to have a family member involved at least for a couple of weeks before? Give them a couple of weeks to even try for their loved one. I know I don't use Facebook, but friends of mine have told me that some comments have, oh, they don't want to be a burden on people. Nobody is a burden on anybody. And a loved one should never feel like a burden at their lowest stage, ever.
Can I ask you, Megan, because one thing I read recently was that when somebody, you know, makes the decision to take their own life, apparently one of the signs of someone is actually contemplating or has decided to not even contemplate and has made the decision is that they actually perk up. They seem happier and people actually then falsely think, oh, well, they seem better. They're doing better. Well, actually, that's not it. Mm. It's that they've made
the decision.
Do you know
why you're dead, right, Katie? Because that's exactly what I noticed after it happened. I thought to myself, do you know what? It was when she stopped saying it.
The signs were there. In hindsight, she seemed happier.
Yeah, she was coming up. She was all over like that. She was all over the baby. She was bringing up stuff every nearly day, bags and bags of stuff. And
she was like herself again. That's what they say. It's like they returned to themselves.
Everybody said the same thing to me. And in a way, I actually had to ask someone to remove a post on our page that they wrote, oh, we thought your granddaughter would have been enough to make you stay. But again, everybody did think the baby was a distraction for her for now, you know.
But in hindsight, you think that it's that she felt happy that she had made this decision, that she was going to end ultimately what was probably her torture and suffering.
I think
for a long
she
time.
Found it harder than she thought she was going to. I think she had a plan. And like that, obviously, she met the baby and she was holding the baby. And now I look back at the pictures of her, I can see the pain in her eyes because I know it's not happy tears. I know she knows what she's going to do and she's. No, she has to let that little girl go.
When
because on the Saturday she was here.
I'm going to ask you a very personal question here, and I know it's going to be very sensitive because it's all very, very raw for you. But when you last saw her before she left, or when she last saw your children, was there any sense of a goodbye? Was she saying goodbye? Did it feel like a goodbye?
That photo in the paper of the three of us was taken that Saturday. Mm-hmm. She came over with our camera, and she took a picture and all with the baby's foot in her hand.
But there was no, when she was leaving, there was no, you know, drawn out more than usual
goodbye
or emotion or...
No. And you know, normally she'd nearly suck the cheeks off me going, kissing me that much. She's actually like, she'd smother me with love. But it was a quick goodbye.
Do you know what? It was probably easier for her. That's what I would read from that, that if she wasn't doing the usual, you know, suffocating you with your hugs and kisses and that, I'd say it was probably her way of dealing with the decision she made because she probably was afraid of, you know, upsetting you or, you know, kind of raising any red flags to it that maybe you'd say, oh, well, you know, is there something going on here? You're not saying goodbye, are you?
Well, I'd rather anyone in my ma's position know that that's not the way to deal with because if assisted suicide is, I was going to be a thing again. I just think someone should be a part when nobody should be allowed to do that alone.
What would you say to somebody listening right now who could be in a position like your mother's and is consider or might have considered or might be considering, you know, going to one of these clinics and ending their life in this way, what would you say as somebody who has had to live with the devastation and the horrible consequences and outcome of that?
Well, I suppose I'd say the least you could do is allow someone walk you to the door and be there and not leave people feeling like, I feel like I've let her down. I feel like I could have seen more. I feel like I could have done more. But again, I feel like I was robbed of time because I wasn't told.
And that annoyance, Megan, is it all directed at this clinic? Is that where all of your annoyance is? Or are you...
Yeah, because all I was told was that message when that I was going to get our rashes in the post and it was blocked. Then I had to email the Swiss undertaker myself. So I had to go on Google Swiss undertakers, email them all looking for me, ma.
Oh,
I got onto the Irish Embassy, like I said. She got onto the Swiss Embassy, who then got me some answers, were saying that they could get our rashes home to me earlier and the death certificate would take a bit longer. And at least that, like, I was searching for Pegasus have said nothing to me.
And in terms of her personal
volunteer
items,
telling me
her personal
items. I don't
know. So that's all gone missing as well. Her phone, the stuff she brought with her, that's all gone.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, Megan, okay, I understand your annoyance with this clinic and obviously with your uncle in the UK pushing this, we hopefully will get answers as to how this was able to happen, that your mum was able to trick them into believing that family were involved. I understand what you were saying about, well, they could have contacted me on my phone, they could have rang me, they had my number. Have you any anger towards your mam for literally concocting this whole plan without you knowing anything?
No, I think my mam was just in a vulnerable state. And I don't think, again, our mental health defined her, but I am aware that she had been through a lot. My mam needed a lot of love. And that's what I did for her for a long, like, I babied her when she was here. Because when I became a mam myself and I look at my own two kids, and I know what my mum went through by the time she was my son's age, it physically turns me gut. So I started seeing my mum from a parent's light. And my dad had to raise me. My dad raised me well. And my mum got me weekends and here and there. But she was very much a part of my life and always there for me. But it was my dad who had to take care of me full time. So that also played a part in my mind that she felt like she wasn't there for me. So a lot of our time together was spent in making up for lost time. So I'll never be mad at her. I know she was in pain. It couldn't have been easy.
Do you understand why she lied about all of this and concocted this plan to trick the clinic in Switzerland? Because had you known, by your own admission, you'd have spent weeks and weeks and weeks trying to talk her out of it. Is that probably why she didn't tell you? Is that probably why she didn't get you involved and try to trick the clinic in that way?
I think she didn't tell me because, like I said, I had hyperemesis. I was a high-risk pregnancy, so I had 2 appointments a week. I think she picked a time where she knew that I'd be busy and I wouldn't notice stuff.
What and next?
She just didn't want to hurt me.
But ultimately, you sadly have been very hurt, receiving that WhatsApp message on your phone a matter of moments after your mother has passed away. I can only imagine. Now, at this stage, you had been told by her friend that she was in Switzerland for assisted suicide, but you believed she was coming home. And the next you heard was that WhatsApp message.
Yeah.
What was your reaction when you opened the message?
I was actually, my partner had, he is an electrician and he had to fix a socket for somebody. Now he's off work at the moment. He was just a friend he was doing for, like, and he had literally for the first time since I had the baby left me and gone to do this. And I got the text message, I was alone at home with the baby. So I just sent him a screenshot of the message I got. Straight away. And he rang me and said, I'm on my way home now.
Wow, I'd say it probably didn't even, I'd say it was like, and it wasn't even real.
I really didn't. And I suppose I just sat there for like,
I'd say you were numb.
What felt like the longest 20 minutes of my life, waiting for my parents to come home. Well, I was holding the baby and I thought, no. That's all I think was no.
Jesus, Megan, that's...
So, Megan, you've had a couple of weeks to digest this whole thing. You've finally gotten your mam's ashes back in the post, as you said yourself. Thinking over the whole thing and everything that your mam had been through, and the fact that you already explained that she did attempt to take her own life last year, she obviously, it appears, wanted to die. How do you feel now about assisted suicide, which is something that we don't have available to us here in Ireland? The only country in the whole of Europe, to the best of my knowledge, that is available is in Switzerland for people who are of sound body and mind. We do have euthanasia available in other European countries.
Well, we have a bill that's for people who are terminally ill. Yes, the assisted suicide bill. I know
that's for people who are terminally ill. We have no plans to introduce assisted suicide here in Ireland. But what is your view of it, Megan? And somebody's right to take their own life at a time of their choosing?
Naturally, coming from an only child, going through this whole disgusting situation alone, a place like this makes me sick. Assisted suicide for someone who's maybe extremely ill, fair enough, like, again, my mum was physically in pain and mentally in pain. I just don't think it should be made so easily accessible.
If your daughter came to you in, you know, when she's a bit older, and she said, she asked you about, you know, well, I don't know what you guys call your, what was it, granny or nanny or?
Yeah, granny.
Granny. And she says, Mammy, how did granny die? What would you say to that?
Oh, I don't even know. I haven't, you know, I've thought about it, but I don't know. That's why I said, now even at the funeral, my son, my grandmother passed away 3 years ago, and my son was at the funeral, and I'm like, what was at the funeral? He says to me, where's the coffin? Because we're having a funeral mass for her. But there wasn't much I can do. We're going to obviously let off some balloons and do as nice and best I can, or what I can do, what I've been given. But what if he says to me, like, why are we praying to the... He doesn't even know what an urn is. So why are we praying to that thing in the middle of the church? What's in that?
How are you managing every day? Like, you wake up in the morning and I'd say, how do you bring yourself, I suppose, to continue on with the baby? I know you've no choice, but it's very hard because you've got all the new baby and everything else to look forward to. But what's it like, you know, waking up and... I suppose trying to navigate through normal life as a new mother again for the second time?
Really hard. I don't know. I think, like I said, I'm very lucky with my partner. He is fantastic with the baby and very supportive. So, like, I can have me down days. Like, I'm not... It's okay to not be okay. And of course I'm not okay. But, like... I have to kind of pick and choose my times. Like, I'll cry when I wash my face in the morning so my son doesn't see it. You know what I mean? I just dry my tears down until I just have to find the time.
If you could say something to your mother, what would you say to her? If she was here now, what would you say?
That the kids are missing out on the best nanny in the world big time, as much as she's missing out on what could have been the best is yet to come, you know? She had so much more to live. So much more to give, and again, I think if it wasn't as easily accessible in my circumstance, my circumstances, we could have had a great life together.
Do you? I know you disagree with the way in which the clinic approved this, the way in which she was processed, the way in which you weren't contacted beforehand. But ultimately, do you respect your mam's decision to do this?
I think, do you know, one of the one statements I made about was, my God, ma'am, the balls She must have had to, like I said, I knew me, like one of the days she was getting something made for the baby in Blanchardstown Shopping Centre and she couldn't find her way back to the stall. She'd paid for it and asked the girl to stitch the baby's name on it. And she went off to another shop and then she rang me in a panic. Oh, I can't find the stall that I got the blanket made on. So that's the way my mum would be. So the fact that she went to the airport, was able to, like, she was talking to me as normal on the Wednesday morning and she was like, oh, I was sleeping in this morning. Now, again, I thought she was at home.
Are you positive she went on her own? I know in the clinic she was on her own. You're positive she navigated the airport and all that by herself? She didn't have anyone else with her who would have...
No, nobody. So, like, no, and she would find her way too. Like, it's just she's a little panicky on her own, you know. So I can imagine her little panicky self, you know, making her way to the airport.
No.
And like I said, I thought she was at home on the Wednesday morning. So she texted me, she said, oh, I slept in and I missed breakfast. And I said, well, get up now and make yourself a big dirty breakfast, I said. And so, like, was she actually eating breakfast at that time? Like, was everything, were you just chilling over there, texting me?
Wow.
And, like, just wandering around Switzerland for the day, waiting on Thursday?
And that's the part that interests me as well. It's, you know, people go over and they make this decision.
Up, yeah.
And it's these normal 24 hours, but you know that this, you know, it's not like going to the dentist or going to the doctor. This is not just a simple appointment.
And that's exactly the point that I made earlier on. This was a long time in the planning. Mm-hmm. This wasn't something your mom decided on Tuesday and had it done on Thursday. She spent a long time planning and paying for it as well,
but
by the way.
But I'm always fascinated by, you know, this. I find this whole thing just, you know, the mentality that, I suppose the strength it probably takes for someone to go and do this, because she would have switched on her own IV, the cannula.
Mm-hmm.
She
would have known doing that what was going to happen.
Doing, yeah.
But in the 24 hours preceding that, you know, going having a nice dinner, maybe looking in a few shops and life.
Making plans with me for the following week. Like, I texted her on the Wednesday night and I said, make sure I see you a day next week. I said, the kids have a lovely present for you. And she said, I will. I'll never forget this actual last conversation we have, because she said, my dad had rang me and said, look, your mum wasn't going to come home, but I'm after sorting out bringing her to Bulgaria and getting her the help she needs, because my dad's wife is Bulgarian and they were going to go over there and they were going to bring her and get her checked wherever she was saying she had her pains and she needed help. And my dad rang me and said, say a prayer, don't worry, and your mum will be home to you tomorrow. So I texted
her. That's
where
you left us, yeah.
Yeah, I texted her and I said, the kids have something for you. Let me know what day you'll be over next week. She said, I'm after finding a good medication that I can get for me back, but I need to get a posted up north from the UK or something. And I had said, yeah, sure, we can get a post box in the UK or in the north. And she said, yeah, it's expensive, but worth it. And I said, yeah, you're worth it. You know, just letting her know.
Mm. Do you think she ever had any intention at any point when you guys, you know, when she was saying, I'll come back, do you think it ever was an intention?
I think she might have felt like, well, I'm here now, it's paid now.
Jesus.
I can't turn back. I think she had
what
gotten there.
In the situation where someone, because I'd imagine it happens probably very often, where somebody decides, actually, no, this, I don't want to do this.
Oh, you can walk out the door.
No, I understand that, but...
Well, like I said, they won't talk to you until you pay money. They won't give you any information
give you the
until
money?
You pay.
So what I'm saying is that...
Not the full amount back.
That's terrible. That is. I find that absolutely
horrendous. And it's a non-profit organisation.
They know they're dealing with the most vulnerable people that are out there. And
yeah.
They're saying, if you change your mind and you decide you want to live and you want to choose life, you know, they're
so
saying, well, we're still going
to
keep your money.
Me, I had full hope that we had changed our mind and it wasn't too late. And yeah, I feel like she would have felt more pressure on herself and said, look, I've gotten this far now.
So even them changing that little clause, you know, if someone changes their mind, we'll give you back the full amount, because this is good. You want to live, you're choosing life.
Yeah.
Megan, I want to go back. 100%. I want to go back to a question that I asked you already. because I think it's important to hear the. I understand the issues that you have with the clinic, and that's ongoing, and hopefully you will get the answers that you want. This clinic has been criticised in the past for going ahead with this assisted suicide with people where family haven't been involved. There have been a number of cases in the UK over this, similar to your mam's. But leaving Pegasus aside, and looking at your mam's decision to go ahead with this, do you respect her decision?
I respect her decision. I'm proud of her, no matter what. I feel like Pegasus left vulnerable people go with no dignity. That's where my argument is, because like I said, I followed her. I had to find her first of all because I was blocked. So I had to search funeral homes. I had to email embassies. I had to follow a tracking number. I was then told that I was coming to my house, but then I got a phone call from an undertaker and they were in cabin saying, "How's things, Megan? Your ma's in the post office. I'll go pick her up in an hour and send you a picture." I then got a photo of my ma in a box.
Jesus.
Oh my God.
Like, first of all, I was told she was coming to my address. Now she's in Babyborough in the post office waiting for someone who was too busy to come and collect her.
Megan, I hope that as a result of this publicity, that you get the answers that you so desperately want from Pegasus as regards how your mam was cleared for this, how they... had systems.
I think that communication needs to be on.
I would also suggest that we send this audio on. I would also suggest that we send the audio from this interview on today, so that the people responsible for what has happened, so that they can actually hear. You know, it's easy for them when they can block it and ignore it, but if they hear, you know, in somebody speaking about the devastation it's caused.
Well,
maybe
I'm not going to stop saying and telling the story of, again, fighting that they should communicate and, again, offer a full refund if you're a non-profit organisation and healthy people that are in vulnerable positions maybe are feeling really low, and they'll give you a discount of your money back if you change your mind.
In terms of the actual process when you're taking your life, I mean, how does that actually work? So you
get a drip put into your arm, and
it's like bringing a pet to a vet's, essentially, is it?
Except you're doing it yourself.
Sitting in a waiting room with other people.
And so she would have flicked on, or someone there would flick on this cannula, and so do you know what the time is between, you know, when she would have, how long it would even take for her, the passing after that?
No, just as in the message that she turned on the cannula, 13:03, and she passed away peacefully.
But they didn't give you a time of death?
I don't know what happened. Our body afterwards, our clothes afterwards, our belongings
afterwards.
Imagine
they wouldn't even give you a time of death.
Well, I tell you, Megan, we're going to keep in touch with you over the coming weeks, and hopefully you will start getting answers. And hopefully, as a result of more pressure, and we need to put more pressure on this clinic to ensure that nobody goes through this alone, that family are involved. Everybody has at least one member of their family that are more directly involved than the way in which this clinic had you involved, emailing you at an email address that wasn't yours, reading and accepting a forged letter from you. All of that has to stop. It really does. And if anything comes out of this, is that this Pegasus organisation in Switzerland will, for once and for all, because this has been an issue with them for a couple of years, once and for all, will have systems in place that this can't happen again. That somebody like you does get a phone call before this procedure, and you at least have the opportunity to try and talk your mum out of it, or be there with her, or whatever. And I'm sure that's the end result you want out of all of this.
Yeah, like my uncle said, it was handled woefully, just wrong.
Megan, I really appreciate you talking to us on Opinions Matter. Your story is is shocking in the extreme, a way to find out that your mother has passed away. And I really appreciate your bravery for talking so openly about it. And hopefully, over the coming weeks, you will get the you will get the answers that you're looking for and are rightfully entitled to.
Yeah, please God, I won't be stopping until I do get.
And
know,
I just hope
I
you said earlier on that you know feel like you could have helped or you feel guilty. I just hope that I know it's hard and. We're not living it, so it's easy for us to say, but I hope you can let go of that guilt because you do sound from, you know, it sounds like you couldn't have done more for your mum.
Yeah, thank you, Casey. Yeah, very good.
It sounds like you were an absolutely incredible daughter, and I have no doubt that you and your baby girl and your little boy were the last things that she thought about.
Well, you know, I know you are. You are definitely our three favourite things in the world, so I've no doubt about that.
Megan, again, thanks very much indeed for talking to us.
Thank you so much, guys. They're very good for letting me come on and tell the story.
Thanks, Megan.
Because hopefully it will get me the answers. So yes, they're very good.
Take care.
And on that note, that has been Opinions Matter. What did you make of that?
Oh, God, it's one of those things that you're like, this could not be, a WhatsApp, you find it, she's just so incredibly brave. I would not have her strength, I know that. She's just incredible.
Thanks for listening to this latest episode of Opinions Matter. If you enjoyed it, please hit subscribe or follow. Click on the bell icon on Spotify, and that way you'll get a notification each and every time we upload a new episode. I'm Adrian, that's Katie. That has been Opinions Matter. We'll catch you on the next one.